Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you that for whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We rejoice in eternal life in Jesus Christ today. And we praise you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. Would you say thank you again to the choir for what they've shared with us this morning? Good morning and Happy New Year. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest, please come by. We'd love to meet you on the way out. Find your place in your copy of God's Word, John chapter 3. We're going to be looking in the days ahead at some very important truths, in fact, eternal issues in what we talk about today. We'll be thinking about over the next few weeks what it means to be saved. We'll be talking about the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. We'll also look at some things, some challenges and some questions and some misunderstanding about salvation that sometimes come out and come up in people's lives. But this is a very important thing for us. As I was thinking about putting these things together and praying about it, the song continues, the great hymn in my mind. Many of us sang this growing up. Life is now sweet and my joy is complete because I'm saved, saved, saved. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete for I'm saved, saved, saved. So we'll be talking about saved, saved, saved over the weeks ahead. And perhaps this will be a blessing to you. I believe this is what God wants us to look at together in the days ahead. So we come to John chapter 3, and this is a section where we have John the Baptist speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, and in many ways making the good confession, the good confession. So I start today by making the good confession to you. I am not ashamed to say to you or to anyone else I meet, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so as we start today, I make that wonderful, great confession to you, and perhaps you join me in that in your own personal life. So this issue of salvation in Jesus Christ, as I've said, determines and is an issue related to you after you die. What happens after death? What does the Bible say to us about what happens after we die? We don't have a question about whether or not we're going to die, but the issue is what happens to us as an individual after we die. Well, we want to read John's words here about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we're going to talk about that in some detail this morning. So I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's word, and we'll begin reading John chapter 3 at verse number 30. I'm breaking into John's testimony, his last words about the Lord Jesus Christ, his last recorded sermon, if we would call it. And here John the Baptist says of the Lord Jesus Christ, he, that is the Lord Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, while you're standing, I'd like for you to take your Bible, go to John chapter 20. While you're standing, take your copy of God's Word, and we also read John's explanation of why he wrote his gospel. John chapter 20, find your place there, John chapter 20, and we'll look especially at verse number 31. John chapter 20, verse number 31. John writes these words, John the Apostle, "But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Heavenly Father, now we ask that you'd bless the reading of your word, and may the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, you may be seated. So I take you back now to John's words for just a moment. Let me make a couple of observations here from these scriptures we've read. Just some general observations, and then we'll specifically look at verse 36, where John concludes with these words we've read. "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." We are talking today about your eternal destiny. Where will you be? What will happen to you when you die? I'm going to ask some questions through these weeks of talking about saved, saved, saved. Answer some questions. Today, this question will be something for many of you that this you've answered it in a different way than the Bible answers it. Is everyone going to be saved and go to heaven? It's a very popular question. A lot of books are written about it. A lot of people have opinions about it. Movie stars have opinions about it. Boy, don't you want to count on a movie star to tell you about eternal life? A lot of politicians have comments about it. Is everyone going to be saved and go to heaven? It's a very important question. And we'll discover today, as we've already seen from verse 36, John describes two groups of people, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life, and those who do not believe, who do not obey the Son and believe in him, and do not have life, and the wrath of God is upon them. Only those, this is the focal truth, around which I'll make all my comments today, only those, only, exclusively, only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved and go to heaven. In our hearts and our emotions, sometimes we read and hear these, and this seems harsh to us, that anybody would be left out of the grace of God and salvation in Jesus and miss heaven. To send them to the sentimental mind and to the worldly wise, this seems rather silly and foolish. If God can do anything, why would he leave anybody out? There's some good answers to that question too. So some of you have come in here today and you really, in your mind, if you're honest today, you really do believe that at the end of the day, all these things that the Bible talks about, some of these that seem so strong and harsh, well, it really isn't what God meant. God's changed his mind. And everyone's going to be saved. All my dear family members and friends and the people I work with, the people I love, and my grandchildren and my children and all these. How could it not be? We have such a lovely time and we have our meals together as a family. How could it not be that we would all be saved and go to heaven? The fact of the matter is, not all will be saved and not all will go to heaven. In fact, the Lord says, few out of the many will find and experience salvation. So when we think about these words together, we must begin by understanding what John says here. He reminds us that when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, he's the one who's come from above. Verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. We learned about that over the last months as we've studied about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is above all. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the creator of all things. All things are created through him. By the way, all of creation is for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we enjoy it. We put up pictures of all of the nature and beautiful things, but all of it has been made for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reconciler of a holy God with sinful man through his cross. He is the one in whom all the attributes of God are in him bodily. He is the one in whom is the hidden treasure of all wisdom and knowledge. And when you come to know Jesus Christ, you experience completeness. You don't need anything else when you are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and saved. But is everyone going to be in heaven and be saved? Well, he's the one who speaks from above, and his words are the words of God, verse 34. For he whom God has sent, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, God sent his son to the world. The choir reminded us beautifully just now of John 3:16. He has received this testimony and he's sent his son into the world. He's has the words of God, and the Father loves the Son, verse 35, and has given all things into his hands. Listen, God has given all things into his hands. All things. That includes those who believe in him and those who do not. So we begin by thinking about this very hard question today. Is everyone going to be saved and go to heaven? The testimony of the Word of God and of the Lord Jesus is no. Only those who believe in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the testimony of the Lord Jesus, John 3:16. It is the testimony of John the Baptist. It is the preaching of the, it is the apostolic preaching of the Word of God. So I make these several observations. One, before I get to verse 36, let me make a general statement. Number one, everyone in the world needs to be saved. Maybe I should change it to the way Peter said it. The first time the word saved is used in the book of Acts is Peter preaching to the very men who held court, kangaroo court, and crucified the Lord Jesus. Now back before them, God cared so much. He loves the world so much, even those who crucified Jesus, that he sent his best men to preach the cross and salvation in Jesus Christ to them. Though they did not believe. Peter says to them, and I say to all of you today, I do not assume that you're a saved person here today, regardless of what kind of religious background you have. There is salvation. You see, salvation is a needed thing. In a moment, we're going to see some people don't even see the reason why you need it. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. You must be saved. You must be saved. You must be saved. I must go to my friends and say, you must be saved. I must tell my children and grandchildren, you must be saved. I can't believe for you. You must be saved, my friend. We must go to the ends of the earth, to the stranger, and say, you must be saved. You must be saved from the wrath to come. You must be saved from your sin. You must be saved from eternal punishment in hell. You must be saved. Everyone in the world needs to be saved. This is at the heartbeat of the responsibility of the church to share the gospel. But there's a problem. Something has numbed so many in the world to this truth. In fact, they've chosen to believe a lie rather than this truth that I'm saying to you today, that everyone in the world needs to be saved. I want you to take your Bible, if you still have it, and I want you to look in Genesis chapter 3. If you still have it open, go over to Genesis chapter 3. These are familiar words to many of you in here, but to some of you not. What happened in Genesis 3? This is when Adam and Eve sinned, when they sinned before God and disobeyed him. We read in Genesis chapter 3, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. This is Genesis 3:1. Now Satan was possessing this serpent, this being, this creature, And he said to the woman, Satan says, the devil says to the woman, Eve, indeed has God said, notice he brings up what God says, the word of God. You shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Has God said you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, to the devil, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not. God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. The lie of Satan. What will we believe today? What does every successive generation do? We're reminded that Satan, as the gospel is preached, blinds the minds of the unbelieving so that they will not, listen, believe the truth. The truth is this, that when I sin, in like manner, just as Adam and Eve, when I sin, I have sinned against God, I die spiritually, my life, the wages of sin is death, eternal death. But Satan says, you're not going to die. Oh, what false assurance the lie of Satan has brought in a teaching called universalism. You know the teaching. It's sometimes heard on the college campus. Sometimes, sadly, there are people who preach this in confusion and error and lie, and they perpetuate the lie of Satan. And there's popular versions of it, just the common man out there, worldly wisdom. Why, everyone's going to go to heaven, surely. Look at all these people. Look at all this mass of humanity all across the planet. Surely, surely God, because He is a God of love, everyone will be in heaven. Heaven will be more like a family reunion, a great grand party. We'll all have our toys there, our little celestial motorcycles and houses, and we'll all just have big parties, and it'll just be a big party and a big, great family reunion. All going to go to heaven. You see, self-deception is easy when it comes to thinking about what happens after you die, because to think about the truth of what happens after you die, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you die eternally, is a hard, hard thing. And for some of you today, my preaching on this is a little hard. You see, when I'm deceived and I believe this lie of universalism, by the way, this is the essence of it. All human beings will be saved. All human beings will be saved. And there is no eternal hell. There's just heaven. And we're all going to the same place. You might get there through other religions. You see, there are popular versions. There are religious versions of this lie. Satan said, God said, if you do this, if you disobey my word, you will die. Satan said, you're not going to die. Who will you believe today? I ask you if you've believed the devil's lie, but what if God's word is true? What if this is true? What I'm about to preach about. What if this is true? What if all these lies and all this self-deception, by the way, self-deception around universalism leads us to leave this life of false assurance. Living as the psalmist called it of the wicked, living at ease. The psalmist described those who are wicked, who say there is no God. God doesn't have any knowledge. God doesn't care what I do. God just loves me the way I am. I can do whatever I want to do. They live at ease. There is no urgency in them. They live at ease. There's false assurance that comes with this idea of universal salvation. There is the idea of living without the fear of God and the judgment of God. When you have this idea and accept this idea that all will be saved, there is this denial of the the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why the suffering? Why the intensity? Why the pain? Why would the Lord say, my God, why have you forsaken me if everybody's already going to heaven? This idea of universalism leads us to an idea that we don't really care. Why do we worry about telling somebody or asking them if they're born again or saved? Everybody's going anyway. I say it often to this church. My popular way of saying it is people all live around us that think they act like they're already saved, when in actuality, they need to be saved and they are lost. So I bring this to you today as we start thinking about the most wonderful subject we could talk about. Life now is sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. I cannot appreciate the sweetness of salvation in Jesus Christ until I understand the bitterness of living my life and ending my life and then being separated from God forever. So we come to the first observation of John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. I'll spend much more time on this in the days ahead. This is the most popular thing. Many of us have heard it. You see, just because you have heard this truth doesn't mean you believe it. You can check it off your list. Okay, I know the church answers. But do you believe? I'm trying to be very pointed. Are you really saved today? Have you truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved in order to be with Him in glory in heaven? He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Let's pause right there. This word believe is the word that means not just belief in ideas. Well, I believe the sky's blue and I believe the, you know, the sun comes up in the east and goes down. It's not factual. It's not just a knowledge base, though that's important. The actual word to believe here is the word that means to trust. Do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ for what will happen to you when you're dead, after you're dead? If you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Paul's using that phrase, that metaphor, that idea of believing in your heart. It means deep trust. You trust in your heart these factual truths about eyewitnesses who saw the Lord Jesus resurrected from the dead and ascending to heaven. You see, I trust when I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, I trust who He is, His person, like we've been spending all our time recently talking about, and what He has done, and His words, what the Lord says, I believe and trust. I do it for all of my life. I don't just do it one time when I've made a decision, a spiritual or personal decision. I continue to walk by faith my entire life. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my way of life. I trust God. I don't trust myself, and I don't trust anybody else for salvation. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And notice he says, have eternal life. Life that does not end. I could elaborate on this, but time will get away from me. But I want you to see, this is a wonderful thing. If you read through the Gospel of John, you find John taking us through this wonderful experience of those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and those who walked away. The record in John's gospel is this: some believed and many did not believe. Are you listening? Many will hear the gospel preached. Many will read it. Many will get a tract. Many will hear it on the radio. Somebody will teach them about it. They'll speak to them about being saved and they'll walk away. But some, the Lord says in another place, few will find it in comparison to the many who will walk away and reject it. Well, the Samaritans, chapter 4, verse 42. After the woman at the well came to them and said, come see this man who's told me everything about me. Is this not the promised one, the Christ? They came, they believed in him, and we read their good confession. Wonderful, wonderful words. Chapter 4:42. For we have heard ourselves, they're saying this, the Samaritans from the village are now speaking these words to the Samaritan woman. For we have heard ourselves about, they've heard Jesus themselves. And we know that this is the one indeed who is the Savior of the world. The Samaritans. And we could spend a lot of time talking about the irony of the Samaritans making the great confession that Jesus is Lord and Savior of the world rather than the Jews. In chapter 6, verse 69, Peter says something. He makes the good confession. He believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He expresses on behalf of the other apostles their faith in Christ. What was happening there? Well, the Lord Jesus had just said some very hard words. I'll say them to you. You may not like them either. The Lord Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any part with me. Well, a lot of people heard that and they said, well, we reject that. And they walked away. They never walked with Jesus another day. I want you to think of the sadness of that. The Son of God on the face of the earth speaking the words of grace and salvation, the words of God as John has told us here, and they left and walked away. And the Lord turned to the disciples. Many of you know the story. And he said, are you going to go away too? And Peter said, no. Where would we go? You're the one who has the words of eternal life. And then he said, John 6:69, we have believed and come to know. That's what we're talking about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. When the Lord Jesus stood there at Lazarus, his friend's tomb, and was about to raise him from the dead, he and Martha, his sister, were having a conversation. Martha made the good confession. She said, John 11:27, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. You see, if you're here today, the only assurance of salvation comes based on your trust, a life of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance of your sins. Then we go to the second observation from John 3:36. This is the sad one. The next two are the saddest. He who believes in the Son of God has eternal life. Praise God, hallelujah. We can speak about it. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. I'm saved from the penalty of my sin. I'm saved from now the power of sin to overcome me. I'm saved from the presence of sin when I go to be in heaven. I'm saved, saved, saved. It's glorious. All of the great truths about being saved, all the things we relish and think about, the sweetness, but now the bitterness. But the conjunction reads in verse 36, he who does not obey the Son will not see life. Now, why would he not say believe? Most of you in here come long enough, have come enough to know. I've spoken to you about this before, not to be too technical, but to remind you, we read an English translation of the Bible, translated from the Greek language. When you read this in the Greek language, it reads, he who apatheo the Son. We get our word apathy from that. You know what apathy is? It's that big yawn you teenagers do when your parents are trying to talk to you about something. It's that yawn, apathy, unconcern, and lack of interest. It's the yawn of the world when we talk about being saved because they've believed a lie. They think they're already saved, when in fact, they don't have life. Oh, I'm speaking to you, my friend. This is important for you to know. Whoever does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will not be saved and will not go to heaven. He who does not obey the Son, he who has apathy. You see, this apathy, this living at ease, that's what the psalm called it, as I mentioned earlier. Just this living at ease. I'm going to have all these things all my life. living as if I'll never die, living as if nothing's going to happen to me, living as if God owes me, I'm entitled. You see, the self-righteous man, he doesn't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusts in his religious ceremonies and his religious experience. Look, if you're counting today that you got baptized and that's why you think you're saved, you've been fooled. If you're here today and you think taking the Lord's Supper saves you, you've been fooled. If you believe just coming to church and reading a Bible and having some religious friends and having family that are religious saves you, you've been fooled. The self-righteous man trusts in religious externals. The self-satisfied man, why, he's got more stuff. He's overwhelmed by all of his things. His possessions bring confidence to his life. I don't need anything. The self-satisfied man says, I'm settled with what I've got. Oh, a good family, I've got these things, I've got possessions. Why, surely I have all this because God blessed me. And so the self-satisfied man trusts in his possessions and doesn't need to be saved or want to be saved or care about being saved. The self-assured man says, well, I do good things. I never kick the dog. I don't cuss except once in a while when I really get mad. I do good things for people. I put some money in the pot for the Salvation Army the other day. I'm a nice person. I'm a morally upright man. I'm better than a lot of those Christian hypocrites. Probably so. But you see, this man who lives with self-assurance has been deceived, thinking that what he does is enough to save him. He who believes in the Lord, he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son, who does not believe, who has apathy and unconcern, who yawns away, oh, here goes the preacher droning on about being saved. Isn't there anything else that we can talk about? Oh, there's nothing else more important than talking about this, my friend. You might learn how to balance your checkbook, but if you don't know how to face eternity, you're going to be in trouble. But the self-confident man perhaps burdens me the most. You know the self-confident man, they've done a lot of studying. They've studied worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom looks at these words of the Bible and scrutinizes them and says, well, you know, these were words that were meant for their time, but times have changed. Worldly wise man says, surely no educated, no sophisticated, caring person would ever believe that anybody would be left out by God and not go to heaven. Have you bought into that lie? You hear all of this preaching, say, oh, we shouldn't disturb people. Like the well-intended man said to the preacher who he knew was going to be preaching on hell, he said, now, preacher, don't scare the children. Don't scare the children. What is it you fear in your life, my friend? Well, self-assured, self-deceived people who've believed the devil's lie, you're not going to die, don't care. But that does not change the truth. Let me say this to you. This is a very important word. When the Lord Jesus was having a discussion with some Jewish people, and they were talking to him about his claim that he was the Son of God, equal with God, and they were rejecting it. Finally, the Lord said this in John 8:24, if you do not believe me, you will die in your sin. So with all my self-righteousness, my satisfaction, my assurance, and my confidence in the devil's lie, I'm going to come to the end. I'm going to find myself. Will I be saved or not? Well, do I even need to be saved? You see, the man who does not obey the Son will not see life. We heard from the choir the very words of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whosoever believes in him will not perish. Finally, last observation, whoever does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ lives under the wrath of God. Look at this. Two conjunctions in verse 36. First, he who believes in the Son of God has eternal life. We've talked about that. Second, but, there's another group. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but, John the Baptist continues, the wrath of God abides on him. This word abide is a present tense word used to describe, remains on him. Look, some of you in here in this room, you're people pleasers. By the way, how's that working for you? You getting everybody to, is everybody happy with you? Well, I wanted it hot, and you gave it to me cold. I wanted beans, and I got rice. I wanted a dress, and you gave me these books to read for Christmas. Is it working out how you're trying to please people? They don't line up, do they? We can't even please ourselves. One day you want this, the next day you want this. You see, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the displeasure, the wrath of God remains on him. Let me tell you today, if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is displeased with you and the way you live. But to the apathetic and unconcerned, who cares? I'm going to be saved anyway. I've made up my own gospel. I've taken some good things. You see, God is love. I like that part. God is love. He forgives sin. Boy, I like that part. Let me put that in here, my own little homemade gospel. And because God loves and he forgives sin, I can do whatever I want and I'll go to heaven. No. Today, those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, even those of you who are in this room who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you remain under the displeasure and wrath of God. The Lord Jesus said, if you don't believe, you're already judged. John 3:18, may I read it? He who does not believe in the Son is judged already. What did Paul say to us? These terrifying words in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, one of the earliest of Paul's letters. He wrote to the church, and I speak to this church to remind you today, he was talking about what happens to those who do not obey and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He goes into that in verse 8. I'm just going to quote for you verse 9. Those who do not obey, as John the Baptist says, those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for whatever reason, they will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. Oh, Pastor Mike, we're modern people. We're way past that. Are we? Perhaps this is the reason why the church is in the condition it's in when we think about the lost. We've explained it all away. I say to you today, those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and disobey him and do not believe in him, the wrath of God abides on them in this life, and they die, and after this life they face eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I do not say that with joy. I say that with great sadness. It's interesting to see what people cry about. In our family, you know, at Christmas time, everybody was watching this movie, some movie, and everyone was crying. I don't know, the dog died or something. I don't know what it was. Oh, this sentimental. We're just crying. It's such a sad thing. The dog died. The dog got left behind. And your friends and neighbors who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and your family members who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will face an eternity in eternal destruction. Does anybody care? Well, it's not really in the Bible. It's not. I ask you what I asked at the beginning. If you've believed the lie that everybody's going to be saved, let me ask you this. But what if that's not true? What if John the Baptist's words are true? You see, when the truth of God's word comes toward me, sometimes my emotions, I don't like it. That's a good thing. That means I have to decide, am I going to make up my own way or am I going to believe what the Bible says, what the Word of God says? God says, if you eat it, you die. The devil says, you're good. Why? God created you. He just doesn't want you to be equal with Him. So today I ask you this question as we finish. These would be my things I call daily use, the things for you to think about this week. The first one is this. I beg you and I appeal to you, my religious friend. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Surrender your pride and your false assurance and your deception and religious externals. Be saved from the wrath to come. Be saved from your sinfulness. That's put you under the wrath of God to this day. God is displeased with how you're living today. Oh, the love of God extends the grace of God to us, but that does not change His displeasure for us. God resists the proud. Be saved. And I ask you today, are you saved? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you self-assured and uninterested and unconcerned, and you're ready for this sermon to get over with? You're tired of hearing about it. That may show you the real condition of your heart. And oh, my church friends, we rejoice because we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved. Life is now sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. It's true, but what about the lost? Do I have time to shed a tear? Does it trouble me? Those who do not believe and obey the gospel will not see life, and the wrath of God is abiding on them. But we have a lot to think about today. Perhaps we've been able to answer for you this question. Is everyone saved and going to heaven? No. What did John the Baptist tell us? He follows in the line of the Lord Jesus' words, the very words of God. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. My prayer is that you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you now have eternal life.